This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. Welcome to the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman. We're down to the nitty gritty. One team left in football, and the dawn of basketball season coming around. But let's start first with awards from last week. C&G Road Grader of the Week, and we got to give it to the Louisa line. Despite the loss, we got to give it to those guys. That, you know, we know Robbie Gwynn, we know how good he is, but the three guys who are coming back, you know, those three sort of core guys that have played a lot of plays, that have put in a lot of effort, and it's, it gives them a really good foundation. And you heard something from Robbie that really struck you.
Yeah. So after the game, Will Patrick talking to all his seniors, and Robbie sort of being, you know, very affable, in quite a decent mood considering just how heartbreaking that loss was. But just sort of turned to Patrick and goes, "You'll be fine, man. Like, you got your entire line coming back. Go out and win this one for me." And I just thought that was like a very poignant moment, sort of a senior handing his coach. It's just sort of a role reversal there a little bit.
But that's Robbie Gwynn, man. Yeah. That's a guy who's like mature beyond
And that's
his
why
years.
He's so beloved on that team.
Yeah.
A big part of it. But yeah, with Logan Yancey coming back, Adrian Williams, David Munoz, Louisa sits in this pretty decent spot. I mean, they don't want to hear about rebuilding right now. They're going to sort of take a breath and then worry about football a little bit later. But this is a team that sits in pretty good shape. The rebuild was this year, and they got to within, you know, a minute 30 of advancing to the third round of the playoffs again. It's just a really weird play that sort of prevented them from that. But I thought Louisa, you know, did a really good job controlling the clock they did. Obviously, Eastern View's defense, unbelievably stout, as good as Louisa's. I mean, they were just, these teams were so even. And, for them to put up over 200 yards of offense against that Eastern View front, which is very physical, kudos to them. They're going to learn from this game, that's for sure. That's the best high school football game I've seen in a while. We just had the Monacan game last year and the Dinwiddie game last year. So just in the Louisa lore, it's pretty hard to top those games. But obviously the Eastern View result is not what they want. But what an exciting game to watch.
Yeah, and I think that it says, like you said, this was the year for the rebuild in a lot of ways, with the vast number of key seniors they lost from the state the state championship game run that they had 2 years ago. And you got to be thrilled. Will Patrick, man, what a great job of getting all these guys plugged in.
It was seamless.
It was very seamless. It's just an awesome effort. And the offensive line really required a huge rebuild. I mean, I think they lost, what, Colin Carpenter, Tony Thurston.
Yep.
You know, a lot of really kind of key guys that they ran behind all the stinking time. And they got great production again this year. And I think part of that is that Jarrett Hunter's a great back. But another part of it is that, like, they know how to coach him up out there.
Yeah.
And these guys play hard, man. Munoz. And Williams, Night Train, I think that's his nickname when he runs the ball, but he is a really effective blocker as well, man. I mean, a lot of fun.
They do a great job of communicating. We saw it on the sidelines, after every series, they're coming off and talking with their coaches and everything. And you can just see the bond between them. These guys get along, and they just know how to talk to each other, and the chemistry is there. If you have that core coming back and you have Jarrett Hunter coming back, you are in pretty good shape. You're feeling quite all right.
Yeah, man.
Not too many other schools have that.
Not to mention Noah Robinson, Alex Washington. Like, these guys are athletes, man.
Yeah, Louisa did a lot of growing this year and still kept the product up to the standard that they're used to. And that's a pretty impressive job out there.
It's going to be tough. It's tough to see. Maybe it's 3 years of unbeaten run in the Jefferson District. It's that's certainly on the table. Exciting to see, what they were able to do and pull off. Tough way to go out. Just a brutal stomach punch of a loss there. But flipping over, so C&G Road Grader of the Week, easy pick with the Louisa offensive line standing up against an Eastern View team that met the hype, that was just as good as the hype. But offensive player of the week, man, it's two guys, same game, opposite sides of the ball, opposite sides of the field. But Thomas Harry from Stab and my man over there, Covenant, Jonas Sanker, man, the guy who does it all.
Yeah, it was a really interesting back and forth game there. It didn't get sort of out of control until late in the third quarter. Covenant really sort of established. I mean, sort of the 8-man game, it takes like 35 seconds for teams to score. It's just so much open field and really good athletes out there doing it. But I thought Thomas Harry really laid it out in the line. His offensive line did a great job for him. And they sort of controlled the clock in the first half. He had 5 touchdowns, four of them rushing.
Cat's jersey was like ripped up on right from
first
the jump.
Drive, on the first drive. And it just got worse and worse and worse. At one point, you're just like, did you just lose the jersey, man? That poor thing.
Only shoulder pads.
Yeah. He had a 45-yard touchdown run that just had a lot of zigging, zagging, sort of reversing field and breaking tackles.
Flag really football impressive. Type play.
Yeah. But Jonas Sanker, oh, man, that kid can fly. Whether he's running the ball, he's catching a bomb from Luke Sorensen, who also had a tremendous game. Jonas Sanker is just an athlete. He's heady. He's quick. He's fast. He's strong. He's perfect in that system of theirs where you can just sort of use him in so many different ways. There's just not an answer for him, regardless of where. He's almost sort of like an H-back, in a lot of ways. And we're going to see a lot more of him. I mean, he's just finished his sophomore year, so there's lots of football left in that tank. What an amazing season he had, and a tremendous game. He sort of, early on, the game plan for Stab was really to shut down Rick Weaver at running back, and they just threw everything they had at that. And so that meant, making sure that Sorensen was looking for, Nick Sanker, Jonas Sanker. Nick Sanker had the first touchdown for Covenant there.
He had the flip out to Harvey in the option, too.
So, it was the Sankers early on that sort of kept Covenant in the game going, punch for punch before Weaver got things going in the second half and just wore them down. Tremendous output by Covenant. I mean, offensively, they were just so explosive. John Blake after the game was just like, man, those guys are really good. And, they were hoping they can get that game into the fourth quarter and try and make things interesting. But when you have playmakers like that, like Covenant does, the depth really shows. I think that was the big advantage that they had over everybody all season is, they just got too many guys. And to Sanker's credit, in the second quarter, he got dinged up. It looked like, I couldn't tell if he separated his shoulder or dislocated or something, but he had to come out and sit a couple series while the training staff look after him. Tough kid, gets right back in there. First play defensively, he comes out and, forces a fumble. On a really interesting play where he just sort of dove in and punched the ball out.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool to see a kid just like, no, I'm good, and run right back in there and find a way to make a difference. So great job out there at Covenant.
So offensive player of the week, you got to give it to both those guys. Thomas Harry from Stab, Jonas Sanker over there at Covenant. And then defensively.
You saw them, yep.
I saw them. Only winner that we had, the only winner in the VHSL playoffs. Guchlin gets it done at Fluvanna, but they're home against King William. And the reason they got it done is because that defense just held up in a huge way. I always have been a big fan of what Dan Summitt does on that side of the ball. I think he's done an excellent job. But, I mean, these guys were terrorizing the backfield. Jacob Massey, Jamal Carter, I mean, they were all over the place. They don't keep hurries that we see as far as stats go, but... Dude, those guys were pressuring. King William wanted to throw the ball around a lot. They were putting all kinds of pressure on him. They were just kind of forcing the issue with them. Getting a lot of great help on the back end coverage-wise because the coverage was really good too. But part of it was that they were rushing things or they were getting home when they had to. I mean, Jamal Carter, Jacob Massey, both kind of forces. Carter is, you think of him as a space eater, but he's more like a knifing, like three technique, man. He's just a lot of fun to watch. And then Jacob Massey, man, big kid. They get a lot of snaps out of that guy from offense. And then he gets over on defense, 2 sacks. 2 tackles for a loss, 4 total tackles. And then Carter had 2 tackles for a loss, too, and it seemed like 14.
Yeah, if you have 9 combined tackles and 4 of those are for a loss, from your defensive line.
From the defensive line.
You're in good
shape. The other thing, too, is like Sam Brooks is eating up a lot of tackles on that defense, man.
Good to see him back out there.
Dude, yep. Brooks is unbelievable. He's a guy who had to battle it in the offseason. I think he had
just nagging injuries and, you know,
some hurt tendonitis or something.
Yep, and then hurt his hand in the Amelia game to close out the regular season.
This guy continues to be, I think we've said it before, that in a world where Brandon Smith isn't in the area, this guy is the best linebacker. He's number two. He's up there at least with Austin Sims and Aponte out there at Louisa too. I just think he's a tremendous player. Sam Brooks, he is a sideline-to-sideline type guy. He causes all kinds of problems. And it was fun to get to see him play. And it had been a while since I had seen Goochland, and I thought he just looked tremendous. And the defensive line just looked awesome. And like I said, secondary, man, they really had it going on. And that's an easy transition. So defensive player of the week, Jamal Carter and Jacob Massey. But that's an easy transition, and we want to talk about this Goochland win. I mean, that's a really big victory for them to take care of business when everything wasn't really going the way they wanted it to offensively. And they've had games like that. I think the very first game of the year was like a 14-0 win over Thomas
14
Jefferson.
14-7, yeah.
Yeah, 14-7, where the defense had to carry it. They're used to leaning on that defense. Whether that's going to keep them going, I mean, eventually the offense is going to have to make some plays. And make no mistake, Devin McCray can make those kind of plays. His 36-yard run was vintage stuff. He got to the sideline. He leapt over a player. I mean, just some really incredible stuff. I mean, to me, the big thing is just seeing what, you know, if the offense can get a little bit more traction and get things moving, that defense is state championship level, I think. I just think they're a really, really good
unit.
They've
got all three layers to it. Because, you know, when you mentioned the linemen, we've talked about Brooks and that linebacking core. Kendrick Braxton, another guy in there.
Dude, Braxton, but that's a guy who I didn't know that much about until I saw him. You've been talking about him for a few weeks.
That guy's got charisma, too. He really gets that, that defense hype. And then the secondary is so good. CJ Tulls and then McCray back there roaming around. So.
Of course, man. And those guys jumped up. And like, I'm going to be honest, like, you don't see it all the time at the 2A level, guys who can really cover. High school in general, you don't see as many cover guys. You see guys who can make plays, or they're in the zone and they can make plays. But like, these guys were like legitimately covering. They're jumping up. They're breaking up passes. You know, really great ball skills all the way around. Tremendous effort in the secondary.
Yeah. And so now they get a rematch from last year, the Pequosin. That's a team that took them down 21-10. And Goochland scored the opening drive. They had a big kick return from Cole Knuckles, and then I think McCray had like a 1 yard keeper. So they went up early in that one, and then Pequosin just turned on the Jets after that. And I think they ran the ball for 34 times, 180 yards out of that.
Oh boy.
And then after that opening drive, held Goochland to just 18 yards. So that was championship level defense that they saw last year. We'll see what they bring this time around. But really good matchup. They beat Amelia. In the previous round, I think Goochland would have liked to see Amelia a second time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there'd be no sweeter plum than beating the team that took you out last year.
No question about it. And then things get progressively harder from there, so they got to get through this one. But there's no easy wins at this point.
No, it's, I mean, everything after here, you're looking at, do we have to play Riverheads? Do we have to play Appomattox?
Yeah.
Like,
these teams are going to show up if they want to keep moving, but getting through Pocosin is a huge step. And obviously it's the step that's at hand. They get them on the turf at Fluvanna. Maybe they can take advantage of their speed a little bit. But I mean, like I said, I love this defense. I love what they've done on that. The offense shows flashes where it looks really good. Connor Popolaritz had a big run at the end that put the icing, you know, that iced the game for him. So
the big thing, they have to have the big chunk plays from Quincy Snead and Perry Snead Johnson.
Yeah, and they had Quincy. I forgot to mention, man, if we had a special teams player of the week, no brainer would be Quincy Snead with his kick return for a touchdown on the opening kick of the second half. And they said that they've been talking about that's been coming. It's been close for a long time. And Alex Fruth, man, he knows his team really well. I think he's done a really nice job of picking everything up.
The first year coaches just killed it this year.
I mean, awesome
Fruth. Patrick over at Fluvanna, you got Morris.
Morris. Everybody.
Yeah, pretty good job.
Nice job, man. Guys. Great start. That's, I mean, some of that is that two of those programs, they're taking over pretty darn good programs.
That also helps.
But Morris, too, man. He got in the mix, man. So taking over a program that would not be described as one of the area's best programs. So big matchup coming up for Goochland. We're really excited to see what they're able to put together in that one. Would have liked to have seen another Louisa game, maybe another Western game. Western with the tough loss to Liberty Bedford, which we talked about last week, the Seminole District is possibly the deepest district in the state if Liberty Bedford is
We might see Lynchburg that. Win at all the levels.
You know? Just all the way around. Yeah,
Class 4, We're Class 3, Class 2.
Handing them out. Yeah. You got Glass, you got Jefferson 4. I mean, just it's really incredible. The Seminole District, and then you throw in, like you said, you got Appomattox, Gretna, those schools. Like you said, maybe we're looking at a Lynchburg sweep. Pretty tremendous, tremendous effort by those teams, and I think that, you know, Western just ran into, you know, something particularly problematic, and that's a Seminole District. I don't know, did Liberty finish like fourth or fifth in that district? That's crazy. I mean, that's just incredible.
Just ran to the wrong team at the wrong time. Yeah,
absolutely, and they're getting hot. So, but we get that Goosen game, but we're also going to start ramping up basketball here. It seems a little early to me to be talking about basketball, but it's time. It's back again, and I think that, you know, we're going to look at three quick storylines in basketball that we think you got to pay attention to. And let's start on the girls' side with William Monroe. Everybody, that's been the story for the last 3 years, getting a chance to see Sam Brunell. And now, you know, last year, a team that she was the oldest player on in just so young all the way across. It felt like the oldest player, certainly the most experienced player. And, you know, while they had a couple of kids graduate, really this whole core is back. They've added a couple of other players, and not like this is sort of Sam Brunell gets one more shot at this thing.
Yeah.
And William Monroe gets one more shot with her at the helm.
Yeah. I mean, some very different teams that she's sort of been a part of. You know, the first two sort of renditions had a little more senior-based operation, and this last one was really sort of on her shoulders. Getting to the state tournament was huge for them. But this is it. Like, I mean, the pressure is officially on now for Monroe.
And they're
making rankings, and you know, there's a lot of tension on them.
Yeah.
People are expecting big things from them, and that's a good thing. That's what happens when you make it to the state tournament. You know, so let's see if you can do it again. But so many new pieces over at Monroe. What kind of sort of backcourt operation are they going to set up? I think that's the big key for them, because we just know how versatile Brunell can be.
And we know how hard this is. Like, the basketball is a extremely deep, extremely tough sport to win state titles in. That's probably, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, right?
Yeah, and at the 3A level.
We talked about baseball before. Like,
at the 3A level, we've seen some very good Western teams with Ellen Schaffrey and so forth involved.
Good call.
We've seen, you know, Fluvanna with an amazing run.
That Hopewell team that stinking beat William Monroe last year was great, deep all the way through.
And then, you know, recently Monticello, the run that they made, you know, with Molly Shepard and company. We've seen some really good 3A teams, and it's just really tough to come out with a win. You know, there's always a Spotswood or whoever to worry about. It's just the depth there is really strong. So, you know, Monroe knows that now, though. You know, having
they know
finally
getting
through the region and hopefully, you know, schedule-wise, that they're able to get some tough games early on. I think that always makes a huge difference, as opposed to just rolling into a playoff just sort of untested, like you've just pounded everybody.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anybody any good. So hopefully they're able to get some competition out of their district.
And I think they've done that over the last couple of years. They've tried to find spots and tried to play people.
If you're Monroe, you're hoping Culpepper's got a good squad.
Yeah.
Like that's what you
iron
want to see.
Iron sharpens iron, man.
Exactly. I
mean, that's what we're looking for. So William Monroe girls, obviously going to be a big piece to watch this year. And then there's, you know, Louisa County is a team that on the boys' side brings back a ton of really good players. Man, we've talked about Jared Hunter all football season, and I've told people several times, just wait till you see him in basketball, man, because the guy's electric and fun in that too.
He and his brother, yeah.
Yeah,
it's just
I love Jared Hunter at point guard, man. He is relentless. He gets in the lane. And you throw in, like, Chris Shelton. You throw in, I mean, there's some really nice pieces
Brandon
there.
Smith's a pretty nice post player to have to work
with.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. Since Smith's an early enrollee, I don't really know. I don't know how long he's going to be. But if he's able to play, I don't know. If he's able to play, that's great. They're going to find guys, man. They got athletes out there. Rob Shelton has done an awesome, awesome job of redeveloping that program and building off what Preston Gordon did and getting things going in a really big way. And it was awesome. They went down to Huguenot last year. You know, put them, you know, it gave Huguenot some trouble at times, ended up getting knocked off there. But I love what they bring back. I think it's going to be a really good Louisa team.
Yeah, and I think the big for them thing for them last year is that, you know, well Shelton was so important to that offense.
And,
you know, his shooting is just, I mean, Louisa has to have it. But they use so many different guys in so many different ways. I mean, they were using that whole bench. Yeah. So it's going to be, that's the team that's, you know, it's built around a larger group of players, and you know they don't have to just. While they need it from Shelton, yeah. They can have an off night from him, and you know the Hunters can take over. And
he's building. He's also building like you should, which is to build to win every year. And so that means you got to work in the younger guys. You got to play guys. You got to get guys in there. And I think that you know we see like there's a lot of really good basketball coaches in this area. We see them do it all the time. I love what they've got. You know what Shelton's got going out there is just a lot of fun. He's finding a way to use those athletes. Maybe it helps him a little bit that football's run is not nearly as deep this year.
And that hurt them badly in December last year.
It made things tough, but by the end of the year, they're really good. And then also, like, people always talk about that. Like, you know, I've heard people say, like, all right, well, like, you don't get the guys in until whatever. But, like, they're playing a competitive, like, they're in big-time performance. Dude, that can only help, man. That can only help sharpen you up a little bit.
I mean, on some level, if you're a player, you like it, too, because you're playing 3 games a week. So you're playing games instead of practicing.
Hey, let's practice.
Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, let's practice. But practice is good. Keep focused on
talking
practice.
Talk about practice?
Talk about practice, man. The two teams that we've gotten used to being really, really good this time of year, Albemarle and Blue Ridge, those are two teams that are going to be retooling a little bit. I like the guys that Blue Ridge has. I think they're really good. I think there's a lot of really good things happening. But there's no question that there's a reason why Darius McGee is already making an impact at Liberty University. That guy was as good.
He's throwing down alley-oops.
Dude, yeah, come on, man. I mean, the guy's he's getting all kinds of minutes at a team that is on the rise. Everybody knows where we stand on Darius McGee. We love the guy. Fantastic. But you got to replace McGee. You got to replace Calhoun. Sardar was, hey man, he's really good too, man. There's not too many guys that are his height that can knock down threes all the time. But I love the guys that they're bringing back. Jaden Frazier had a huge summer, and he's playing a lot better basketball. He talked about it in a story we wrote about how his confidence really got built. It got on track. That's huge for him. If Frazier is the kind of force that he was on the summer circuit for them, that's going to make them really tough. And then surely they've got other guys who are coming in.
Chris Rogers is back.
Dude, Chris Rogers is back. Yeah. Underrated guy, man. Chris Rogers is a tremendous basketball player.
Great two-way talent, defensively, offensively.
Yeah, man.
A spark plug.
We love that guy. That guy plays his tail off every single game. He's always a lot of fun to watch. So it's going to be fun to see what they are able to put together. And then you flip over to Albemarle, man, and they lose a lot of guys. A backcourt that I loved in Jaquan Anderson and Cartier Key. They've got to replace that. That's a really big piece of the puzzle. Max Jarman, another departure. So that puts a lot of pressure on the young guys for them. But we've really gotten used to it at this point where, you know, Albemarle is going to find guys to reload. A lot of other teams that we need to learn about right now. But those are some teams that look good. Miller boys going to be fantastic. That's the defending state champs for a reason. But they brought back some key guys, brought in some new guys. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they look like. But we're going to be learning a lot. And it's you talked about Wayne Monroe earning a national ranking. Miller got some love, a national ranking that Danny Manuel, the head coach out there, tweeted out. You know, people know about Miller. People know what they bring to the table. They're going to be really tough this year. So not this basketball preview, short preview, not meant to be comprehensive at all. We're just getting our legs up under us and learning about what's going on. So that is a full disclaimer. But I feel like those are some really key spots to be looking at.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot going on in terms of within the Jefferson District. I think we've got a lot of teams coming back. You know, what does Charlottesville look like? What does Western look like?
That's a team that's got to be bringing back, you know, got to replace Chris McGarren, who's now managing at UVA. Then you got Jed Strickland. They've got a lot of guys that they've got to figure out, a lot of points they got to figure out how to replace, but we already saw them do it last year when they had to replace Ryan Ingram. So it's going to be fun to see how some of these teams shake out.
Yeah, and this area, we don't see a lot of turnover in the coaching department in our area.
Because there's so many Mainers.
We've got a lot of state final runs on the public side, a lot of state titles on the private side. Just not a lot of turnover. So the coaching here is just fantastic. So you expect good results. I think we're in for a pretty interesting end of November, beginning of December. All these teams have to sort of feel things out. I mean, they're just getting in the gym. Last week is when most teams started. So it's going to be a fun one coming up.
Perfect. So thanks for sticking with us. A little bit of basketball, a lot of football, and we're about to jump into winter sports in a big way. So thanks for listening. We appreciate you coming along.